called it on the screen up there, Faith to Run the Christian Marathon. And your bulletin, I just don't think I had that big of a space that I could put that all up there. So I think I put something like Patience for the Race or something like that. But again, what we're looking at here and going to go through is we've got a race to run. It's the Christian life. And again, if you're in it, it demands that we run, demands that we run well. It's again Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. Let's have a word of prayer as we get started. Father, I pray you might help us, Lord, to understand the race that we're in. And Lord, that we would take it seriously. But Lord, we can't run it without your help. And that's what we ask for. Lord, teach us things from, again, these verses that we maybe know, see things that we've seen before. But Lord, show us something new that as we live for you, Lord, we'll do it with renewed vigor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, I just kind of put here a statement about the sermon or whatever, where we're heading or whatever, but to run the Christian marathon with endurance. Faith focuses on Jesus who endured the cross and received the reward. I'm not here preaching. I'm not trying to emphasize or in any way try to tell anybody you need to go out and run a marathon today. Okay? Not going to do it. In fact, I don't know. I think if the truth be known, I don't think I'm ever going to run another one. Okay? Now, who knows? Maybe somewhere along the line, some bug will bite me or something like that, and I'll think, boy, I think I should just go ahead and try to run another marathon. Okay? Just ran a couple years ago. All right? And when I crossed the finish line, I kind of said to my wife, if I ever try to do something like this again, slap me. Okay? It was a tough race, and you're going to understand as we go through the sermon, it was a tough race. Okay? I did well. If somebody'd say to me, why aren't you going to run it? It's not the running of the marathon that was the problem, okay? If I could go out and run that marathon again and do as well as I did, I'd go run one tomorrow. But in order to run the marathon, all that I had to do to get ready for the marathon, it was really hard on my feet, okay? My feet really took it bad, okay? So when somebody says, why aren't you going to run a marathon? I don't have the feet to do it, all right? It was just too hard leading up to it. I was on an 18-week program to get ready to run a marathon, and it was too hard on my feet. I toughed it out, ran the marathon, and that's why I told my wife, if I ever get this idea to do this again, slap me, okay? Because my feet really paid a price for it. And again, though I ran it, 2 years ago or whatever, I still have one part of my toe that if I showed you today, still bearing the brunt of all the training that I did. So again, so if I'm here and you think, well, I think Pastor wants me to run a marathon. I don't even want to run one, okay? So I'm not trying to help have you do it or whatever. The marathon I am interested in you running, though, is what? The Christian life. Okay? And we need to run it. Okay? We need to do well with it. We need to finish well. The verses we started the sermon with, where basically, I started the service with, where Paul said, I finished my course. That's what we need. We need all of us to get to the end. Okay? When we stop, when it's over, when we're done, we're at the finish line. Okay? We don't call it ending well when you're done and the finish line is still up there somewhere. We don't call that ending well. All right? We call it ending well when you're finished and you've gone through the finish line. Again, let me just give you a few things and I'll emphasize this and so that you understand about what I took away from running the marathon. Now, again, and though I still run half marathons every year, running the marathon, folks, there's a community in running a marathon that's really neat, okay? As you get to the starting line there, now, you understand that I had no premonition that I was going to win this thing. Is everybody with me on that? Okay. I had no things that, I think I can beat, there's like 600 people here. I think I can beat them all. Okay. There wasn't anything like that. Now there was probably some people there that their goal was to win the thing. But when you're this age, it's not going to happen. Really isn't. Okay. But when you're all there, folks, you're just talking to people that you don't know. You don't know much about them, but you just talk to people. And it's a neat conversation. And you're just talking about different things and about the race and, how do you think you're due? Or, have you ever done this before? Or, and it's a community. When you start and you start running or whatever, as you start finding your pace, you maybe start finding yourself in a little bit of a crowd or with people or whatever. It's not like a race you might see on TV where people are trying to cut in front of you and vie. We're all a community. We're just talking to each other. you know, if we can catch breath. But we're just talking to each other, having a good time. And the race I was in, the custom was that you referred to each person by the town they were from. So I was Bellefonte, okay? So as people would talk to me, hey, Bellefonte, you know, I knew that's me. And, you know, I found there was another guy I was running with. He was from Milesburg and found out that he worked at the penitentiary. And he knew Dave Packer, knew Sean Myers, okay? And he was running. He was from Milesburg, but, you know, and you just talk to people, you know, and it was just a community about it. It wasn't that I was trying to beat these people, you know. I didn't look at somebody and say, you know, I'm going to beat you, you know. We were all in it as a community. And I say that because, folks, when I'm talking about running the Christian life as a marathon, folks, we are not here competing with ourselves. We're not competing, okay? Again, maybe the only thing I was competing in the marathon, and I don't even think it was the time clock. I was just doing it, okay? Wanted to have a fairly good time if I could, but I wasn't really running against somebody. Here's how it worked. As we came down to the end of the marathon, there was maybe two people ahead of me up there a little bit. There wasn't the idea, you know, I need to sprint by these people and beat them. You know, after running 26 miles, there was no sprint left. Does anybody got that? It was just like, you know what, at this point in time, darting by them just to say, hey, I beat you. What's that? You know, they'll probably look at me like Bellefonte. He's insane. What's going on with him, you know? We're running together, you know, and if you're running with someone or whatever and they need a little help or they need a little encouragement, you give it. You understand what I'm saying? You help people. And that's the way it is in this. We're in a Christian marathon, but I don't want to call it as much as I can a race. Because when you say the word race, then we have the idea that you and I aren't working with each other. We're here to beat each other. And that's not what we're doing in this race. We're here to help one another. And so I want to make sure that we understand that. But again, I've got some of my main points up here. But the Christian life is a difficult marathon that we must run. Okay? I am not here today to preach to you that the Christian life is all fun and games. And, you know, this is just the easiest thing you're ever going to go through. Folks, life is hard. But when I say that, I also have another one. God is good. So that you understand that. But life is hard, okay? Again, it's a grueling race. Some of the things that make a race hard are long, steep uphills, okay? I also found out another thing that makes running hard is strong headwinds, okay? Headwinds are tough. Believe it or not, when they're in your face, it's hard to run into a headwind. Hills are tough. Sometimes you got to run through obstacles. The one that I ran through wasn't all on road. It went through the woods somewhere a little bit on a path or whatever, and it rained the day before. And so there were puddles to jump over, or if you were just too tired to jump them, you just ran through them, okay? And I was telling somebody that on that race, you could tell the difference between a half marathoner and a marathoner. The half marathoners left 2 hours before the half marathoners, and we ran out 13.1 miles, I know it, and ran back. The half marathoners started 2 hours later. They ran out 6.55 miles and then ran back. So you're all kind of finishing together, and you could tell the difference between a half marathoner and a marathoner because the half marathoners still had clean sneakers and socks on because they ran on the road. The marathoners all had mud from basically the knees down. You could tell who the marathoners were, okay? But it's a hard race. Life is hard. Again, I'm not here to tell you that all life is easy and good. All things work together for good, but all things aren't good. Am I right about that? In fact, they just downright hurt from time to time, do they not? And taste bad. Okay, so again, we've got this race to run. It takes some self-discipline. It takes some self-discipline. You've got to have a motivation, okay? And you've got to be able to maintain that motivation. And again, it takes some endurance and effort, and you got to be able to sustain it to get to the end. I was reading on it or whatever, and I know that somewhere along the line, somebody said, and I was reading different people, somebody said, you know, around mile 20 is where all the problems set in. The pain really starts to get bad. It really gets hard. And the last 6 miles are really hard. And I remember running through the 20th mile going, boy, I feel pretty good. You know, they all said it was going to really start hurting around mile 20. I'm feeling pretty good. And then mile 21, I ran through mile 21, and I was feeling pretty good. And right at the end of mile 21, we went up this little hill. I got to the top of the hill, and I was like, oh, my. I have no idea how I'm going to make it to the end. And I had 4 miles to go. Now, I just was kind of blessed that maybe I didn't have 6 miles to go when it set in. But at mile 4, it set in, and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. It really, really hurts. And I've always said to different people who run marathons, when did you start hurting? And not a one of them has said to me, oh, I never hurt. You know, they go, oh, mile 20 got me, or mile 21. I said, well, I got it on 22. Right at the end of 22, it hit, and I didn't know if I was going to make it. And some of you know that when I ran the thing, at that point in time, God supplied a Christian who came up beside me who was running the half marathon. It was a lady, and her name was Jennifer, I think it was, and she works at the one Christian school in Bloomsburg. She was a teacher at Bloomsburg, at the Christian school. I don't know if it was Bloomsburg or what's the other one, Cumberland County. I think it was Cumberland County. Which, what's that? Columbia County, excuse me, I'm sorry, and met her, and she was kind of walking a little bit, and I came up beside her, and I go, hey, you can make it without walking, and she goes, I'll do it if you do it, and we kind of encouraged each other to keep on going, and I was really starting to hurt, and again, somebody brought it, but it's hard. Well, I know if somebody's saying to me, well, Pastor, you know, running that marathon, was that easy? I'd lie to you if I said it was easy. And that's why I said when I crossed the finish line, I told my wife, if I ever plan on doing something like this, just slap me, okay? It was really hard. Now, maybe some of you have run them and you said, well, Pastor, I must have been in better shape than you are. Maybe so, okay? Maybe so, but it was tough, and that's the Christian life we're in, okay? So, again, I want us to make sure that as we run the Christian life, it's difficult. It's not going to be easy. And I don't know what, you know, how long you're going to live, okay? I don't know. But if you divide a marathon 26 years, okay, and multiply it by three, what do you come up with, like 78 or whatever? Okay, so, you know, you got three marathons you have to do. I don't know what mile marker is going to be your hard one. You know, some of you may say, well, Pastor, I've got some mile markers in my past that were really, really hard. Okay, or Pastor, I'm on a mile marker right now that's killing me. It's really tough. Okay. Or maybe you're here saying, it's, you know, like me at mile 20, so far, so good, right? But you know what I'm going to tell you? Mile 22 is coming. It's going to hurt. It's going to be hard. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a marathon. I'm talking about life. It's really hard. Again, but we've got to run it. As a Christian, don't quit. Let's go to number two. To run the Christian marathon, we must get into shape. And stay in shape. Look at the text, if you will, in Hebrews chapter 12. Notice what it says. Seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Here it is. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. I'm basically giving you two things that I'm going to call self-discipline that we need to be motivated so that we can finish well. And the first one is lay aside every encumbrance. Let us lay aside every weight. Folks, I'm going to give you this. This is not sin. This is not sin. That's why I want to call it an encumbrance or whatever. Again, it's distinguished from sin. It's an encumbrance, but I'm going to put it this way. These are things that aren't intrinsically bad. They're not intrinsically wrong, but basically they become wrong because they keep you from running the Christian life the way you should. Let me give you an illustration. Sleep. Sleep. Now, I'm not here to preach against sleep. All right, folks, from now on, no more sleeping, okay? I'm not against sleep. But you know, if you know that you need to have devotions and you've got a day that demands your gas tank being full in the morning to get you through the rest of the day and you need to have devotions, you know, if you just sleep in to the point that when you get up, you got a quick hustle and get out of the house and you miss the time with God, you have let sleep get in the way of your running well. Is everybody following me through on that? You really have. And I'm not here to preach against sleep. But, you know, I would say, you know, if you need to have a time and you need to get that strength to get you through the day, you need time with God in the morning so you can run well. And again, if you run a marathon, and I've shared this before, folks, if you're going to run a marathon, you don't start fasting on Wednesday if you're going to run a Saturday marathon. You don't start fasting on Wednesday. You're not going to make it. Okay? In fact, what do they call it on Friday night? Carb loading. Anybody ever heard of carb loading? There are marathons that literally on the night before have a carb load dinner. And they will have spaghetti and lasagna and things that have all kinds of pasta in it. It's part of a money making also. It's fundraising. But they'll have a carb load dinner on the night before. Marathoners go in and load down on carbs. Why? You're going to need them tomorrow. Okay? You get up in the morning. You eat some protein. You eat some bananas. Okay? You need strength because you're about ready to take on a race, all right? Here's the Christian life. Folks, I don't know, but it's going to take you 16, 17, 18 hours to get through today. You're doing it on an empty tank. You get up this morning and just hustled out of bed, hustled into life. and didn't get the energy you need for the rest of the day, which you find in the Word of God, well, I slept in. Stop sleeping in. Set the clock. Get up and get with God. Okay? Now, I know some of you say, well, Pastor, but I got to be on the road by... Then I guess get into bed a little bit earlier in the next day. I don't know, but again, if you're going to go on a trip, you fill the tank before you go. That's what I've always heard. And so that would be an encumbrance. Okay, lay aside the encumbrances or whatever. Again, if somebody said to me, again, I do this. Well, we're having an all-nighter at the church on Friday night, and I'm going to run a marathon the next day. Is there anything wrong with going to an all-nighter? No. But I'm not doing it. I'm going to bed because I got a big day tomorrow. And again, that's the way it goes. Make sure you're ready for the day's events. The next thing, though, however, is we must lay aside every sin. Again, that so easily entangles us. You can see it there in Romans 12, the sin which does so easily beset us. Again, I'm not going to preach on specific sins right here, but this is what I think this specific sin is. Okay? It's the same for all of us, what I'm preaching here. Okay? Now, you may have a different besetting sin than somebody else, but the way I'm interpreting it for today is this. I believe the besetting sin that all of us struggle with is faithlessness. Why am I saying that? What chapter comes before Hebrews 12? You're all good mathematicians. You can do this. What is it? Hebrews 11, right? What is Hebrews 11 about? It's all about faith. What do we call it? The Hall of Fame of Faith or the Hall of Faith or all these people that live by faith. We just come to an entire chapter about living by faith, and the very next verse basically says the sin which just so easily beset us. What is that sin? Staying with the context of the passage, the sin that easily besets us is we don't have faith that we should have. Well, God, I just don't think you can do this, God. I don't think God can work this out. I don't think God can handle this situation. I think this God, this, you know, it's just not going to work out. And folks, we all do that. We just don't trust God like we should. And if somebody would say to me, well, I gave up on the Christian life, why? The answer might be because you just didn't trust God to get you through the troubles you were in. You didn't have faith. So again, let's stay in shape. Lay aside the sin which does so easily beset us. Again, you can also interpret this verse to go to other sins, okay? Other sins that you may be getting onto you. And folks, you need to get victory over those sins. But again, I believe sometimes the reason why we give up is people just say, I just can't do it anymore. I don't think God can work in my life. I don't think God can get me through, is what we're saying there. So we need to stay in shape. What's the way to stay in shape? Just trust God. Trust God with all your heart. He'll keep you on the path. He'll get you to the finish line. Again, number three, to run the Christian marathon, we must run with endurance the course set before us. First thing you need to know as you look here, again, it has in there, let us race, run with patience the race that is set before us. God sets the course. Okay? Now, I don't know. I don't think I'd ever do this, but maybe I'd think about it. What if you showed up at a race and they say, well, the race is 26.2 miles long, and here's the course. And you go, well, you know, I know that course. And there's some pretty good hills on that course. You know what? I'm still going to run 26.2 miles. I'm just going to do it on different roads than what you've picked out. Okay? And you go to the race director and say, you know what? I'm an honest person. I'm telling you what I'm doing. I'm still going to run 26.2 miles, but I'm going to do it on my roads. Would they go, okay. Would they do that? You know, the Boston Marathon. What is the most famous section of the Boston Marathon? Anybody know what it's called? Heartbreak Hill. Heartbreak Hill on the Boston Marathon. What if somebody says, you know what? I'm going to run the Boston Marathon, but I'm not doing the Heartbreak Hill section. I'm going to go around it. Okay? Would they go, okay, that's what you want to do. Go ahead and do it. What would they say? You know what? You can't do the Boston Marathon without doing Heartbreak Hill. You don't get to choose the course that they have set there. And I just put down here that God sets the course, okay? God sets the course. And can I just tell you, when He sets the course for your life, there are going to be some hills. There's going to be some headwinds. There's going to be some swampy areas or puddles you might have to go through. There's going to be some water that you might have to run through. And I know sometimes the first question we want to ask is why? I can't answer all the whys. That's just the course that God has set for you. You got to run it. it's not going to be all that easy. There are spots that are hard. And again, I just tell people there are certain places in the race that it's a little easier to run. Again, it's flatter or it even goes downhill a little bit. But I've always learned that whenever you run down, you got to run back up. Did anybody figure that out yet? Whenever you go, you can praise the Lord, I'm going down, but you just got to remember, I got to go back up, okay? And if anybody knows where I live, though it's not too bad, but I kind of live on top of a hill, do I not? Okay, you think where I live, coming out of Bellefonte, it goes up the hill. It's always neat to start my rides, okay? It's neat. In fact, I really like this, okay? On my bike, I have a speedometer or whatever, a computer, and the other day I rode from my house through Milesburg to go to somewhere else. When I got to Milesburg, folks, I was averaging over 20 miles an hour on my bicycle. I was up to around 22 miles an hour on my bicycle by the time I got to Milesburg. Does everybody know where I live and where Milesburg is from where I live? It's all downhill. It's all downhill, okay? I mean, you can fly on it. Turn around and go back and try to do 22 miles an hour. That hill by the neighborhoods will kill you, okay? I fly by the I fly by your house because I come down, get in the dip, and I can make the other hill. And then down around the Red Roost or whatever. Boy, I don't stop at the stop sign at Red Roost. I'm going too fast to burn my brakes out or whatever. That's a big turn around and come back up that hill. 2 miles an hour, maybe. I don't know. Okay. Yeah, downhill is so neat. But somewhere along the line, you went down, you have to do what? You got to go back up. And then you say, well, Pastor, how fast did you go when you came running around? Don't even ask that question. Just be impressed that I went like 22. Okay? Just be impressed that I went 22. But God sets the course. And you know what? Watch this. Don't look at somebody else's course and say, why didn't I have that one? God sets the course. God knows the bumps and the hills and the headwinds that are there. But He'll never leave us or forsake us. And even if He leaves us through the valley of the shadow of death, He says what? I won't leave you. God sets the course. So don't complain about the course. Get in there and run it. Get in there and run it. Do the best that you can. Again, we've got to run with endurance. You've got to know how far it is, folks. You've got to know how far it is. It's a long race. It's to the end of your life. Don't start sprinting in the beginning. Okay? Don't start sprinting. It's a long race. You've got to time yourself out. Now, I put down here that basically when you're doing distances, there's a mindset. There's a mindset when you're doing distances. Are you with me on that? Let me give you some for instances or whatever, okay? And I laugh about this because I ride with two guys on bicycles, and both of them are crazy, okay? I am the normal guy in the group, if you can believe that. But I ride with John and Jason the other day, and we showed up the other day or whatever, and they said, hey, we're going to do an 80-mile bike ride or whatever. I'm like, okay, 80-mile bike ride, 80-mile bike ride, okay. I show up. They go, you know, we think we're going to go 100. Wow. Now, you can say, what's the difference between 80 and 100? You know, and they're like, well, we didn't tell you, but we're just going to do it, you know, or something like that. Well, there was a time when we sat down in a pavilion, and we were all kind of a little tired. And I said, you know, folks, if we were only going 80 miles, we'd be done. And we still got ways to go, guys. The 80 versus 100, there's a mindset when you're doing a race. On last Saturday, let me share this with you, okay? So you understand this or whatever. Last Saturday, I was on vacation, got up early, and we had ridden our bikes on the Weiser State Forest, and it goes 8 miles out from Route 54 to Route 42. It's 8 miles out this dirt road, beautiful landscapes and everything. And you ride 8 miles out and 8 miles back, and we did it as a family. I was on a bicycle boat for two, and we even put a thing on the back of the bicycle for two, so it looked like a bicycle boat for three. We were riding down through here. It doesn't go real fast, you know. And so I decided, you know, before everybody gets out of bed, I'm going to get up and get on one of the bikes and just see how fast I can ride 8 miles out and 8 miles back. Okay, so I got one of the mountain bikes out, and I said, I'll just see how it is. So sure enough, I parked there, Route 54. I got on the bike, and boy, I'm chucking out across there. And I was going pretty quick. Got out to Route 42. There's a parking lot there. Guy was taking a bike off of his thing. And he said something like this to me. He said, hey, where are you going? I said, I'm parked back at Route 54. He says, I'm heading that way. Can you just hold up a minute? Let's ride together. I'm like, all right. And I look at this guy. He's as young as my son, if not younger. He's taking a real expensive bike off the back of this bike, off the back of this thing. And he said, you know, I ride this thing every Saturday by myself. You know, it'd be nice if I could just ride with you here real quick. And then he said, somebody, what do you want to do? And I don't know how the conversation was. I said, look, you go ahead and ride and see what I can do. Here was my mindset, folks. I only have to ride for 8 miles. I only have to ride for 8 miles. At 8 miles, I'm back at the car. I'm done. That was my mindset. I only have 8 miles. That guy took off. I mean, I was working hard to stay with him. I mean, I rode hard. I tell people we were going too fast. I couldn't get a drink of water. I mean, if you'd have gone down there, I mean, we were just moving. And, you know, there were mile markers as you're going down there. You know, you see mile six, and by we started eight. I got 6 more miles to go, mile five, mile four. I mean, I'm dying. I'm getting by a mile two, and I got 2 more miles to go. I mean, I am just doing with everything I've got or whatever. The last mile, man, I was just giving every effort I had just to stay with this guy. You know, he was there beside me from time to time talking to me. I can't even talk, okay? I mean, we're just moving down there or whatever. I got down to the parking lot. I said, that's my car right there. And I got off, and he goes, man, that was really great. He spins that thing around, and boom, he's out of there, you know? I just sat there. But I knew it was only what? 8 miles. I knew that when I got done with the 8 miles, I was done. I didn't have to go one step further, one inch further, and I set my mind. Folks, if it had been a 15-mile course, I couldn't have done it that fast. I didn't even think I could get 8 miles out of me without telling him to slow down, but it's a mindset. Now, folks, watch this, okay? This is the rest of your life. It's a long race. It's called the Christian life, okay? Don't just be a flash in the pan, and at mile one, you're done, okay? Set yourself into this race. It's going to be a long time, but just keep moving. Just keep stepping, okay? You know where the end is. Keep going all the way to the end. And so, again, when I tell people that, you know, when you run a race, it is a mindset. You know, if I were to show up with John and Jason, this is the little truth, okay, and say, how far are we going? And they go, we're not telling you. That will mess with you. That'll mess with you. If you have no idea how far we're going today, then you don't know how am I gauging it, how am I, you want to know how far. And by the way, when they said 80 and changed it to 100, I'm glad they told me, okay, because I'd have been looking at the speedometer saying, something's wrong here. Something's wrong. And by the way, if somebody tells you it's a 50-mile race or a 50-mile ride and it's really 53, that plays on your mind, because when you hit 50, you're saying what? I should be done. So it's turning into the mindset. It's the rest of your life. You're not just going to serve God till you're 65 and then give up on Him. You're going to serve Him the rest of your life. Get into the endurance that you need to have there. Get into maintaining the effort. I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. Serve God. I'm going to do that. Again, as we do this, could you get rid of A there for me? I don't know why it went there. The encouragement to keep running comes from those who have run before us, but primarily from Jesus Himself. Look at Hebrews 12. Look at Hebrews 11. Seeing that we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I'm going to tell you this. This is me. It may not be you or whatever. But you know what I enjoy from time to time? People that stand on the side of a race course and cheer for you as you go by. You have no idea who they are, okay? They're probably there because of somebody else in the race, okay? And if they're looking behind you, then you know you're ahead of that person, okay? But a lot of times people just stand there. Sometimes they stand there with cowbells. They stand there with different things. But as you go by, people you don't even know go, looking good, keep it up. They're probably lying. They're probably saying, this guy coming, we really need to encourage him. Look at him, okay? But they say, and I'm not kidding you, when somebody, you don't even know who they are, you probably will never see them again in your life, but they're standing on the side of a race course, and they say, looking good, keep it up. It does something for you. Anybody with me on that? It really does. You know, and you're like, oh, and it's not me, and I don't really say when I'm running down, oh, they're probably lying. I'm like, hey, they said I'm looking good. Now you might say, well, Pastor, you're vain, but it really is an encouragement. Now watch this. What if it's somebody you know who's standing on the side and says what? Keep it up. Wow. That's encouraging, is it not, or whatever? That's encouraging. I don't know. I'll give you an illustration. It wasn't that long ago, whatever. We were coming up the road, and I don't even know. Was it the 100-miler we were finishing? I don't know. But we looked up the road, and we were all wearing orange shirts. And Jane, you wore an orange shirt that day. And we looked up the road, and there was Jane on the side of the road. Okay? And as we go by, she's clapping. I don't know, probably taking pictures. And, you know, for that mile, we're trying to look good. Somebody's on the side clapping and you remember this. You were at the flower place, right? I'm telling you, it does something for you for somebody to cheer for you. Somebody's saying, keep it up. Folks, we have a great cloud of witnesses. Now, I don't know that they're looking over heaven's portholes and looking at us today. But number one, the great cloud of witnesses is those people who have run before us. And basically what they're trying to say is, keep it up. It was hard for me. And here's the thing. I'm not saying that I like about it, but here is something that just speaks to me. You go through that list of names and people in Hebrews chapter 11, some of those people were far from perfect. They were far from perfect. Am I right about that? Samson made the list. Anybody want to argue for a perfect Samson? But here's how I look at it. If a guy like Samson can be included in a hall of fame of faith, then you understand we serve a big God. And he overlooks things. And he's a God of forgiveness, but he's also a God of strength, because at the end of Samson's life, tell me how he finished, folks. Tell me how he finished. He did a good job, did he not? Okay? He messed up along the way, which helps me, because, you know, I might say, well, you know what? I've really messed this race up. I've not run like I should. Some of those hills have really knocked me down, and I've not done what I could. And Samson may be standing there saying, what? You're talking about me. But let me tell you, keep it up. Keep it up. Keep going. And so we have people who are listed in the Hall of Fame of Faith. They're not perfect people. But you know what? They're included in the list. And that gives me some kind of encouragement that I also, again, can maybe be included in some kind of list of faith. I don't always do it right. I don't always get it perfect. And so these people are telling us, keep running. Don't give up. Okay? You're going to go through some hard times. Maybe some of the failures that they had, I can learn from it. Maybe some of the successes they had, I can learn from them. But they're out there telling me, don't give up, because you know what? It's all going to be worth it. But again, if I could put it this way, Jesus basically is the main motivation for keep running. I mean, when you look at these verses, again, looking at verse 2, we're looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Notice, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame. Where is he today? He's set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Here is a person, okay? And you go into verse 3, again, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Here is Jesus. I mean, he had the steepest hills. He had the strongest headwinds, and he made it. And you know what? He's here to empower me so I can make it also. Again, I got a few things. Notice he's the author or the captain of our faith is what he's called there. He's the captain of our faith. And being the captain of our faith, again, he is there to get us through. He's the originator of our faith. He's the source of our faith. But he's also the captain who's leading us. He's leading us, you know. Sometimes life is hard. I need somebody's back to follow because I don't know the course. I like guides. Does anybody know what a guide is? It's even better than GPS. Just follow me, okay? And so, again, we need to watch Jesus. And he said, look, this is a tough time. Just get in behind me here. I'll take you through this. I don't know. I know it's more for bikes than it is for running or whatever. But you all know what drafting is, don't you? You know how you get in real close behind somebody, and again, somebody gets the wind, separates, breaks the wind for you, and you come in and kind of get in a vacuum or whatever? You ever done that or whatever? I remember we had one time, and John's got this beautiful bike with really skinny little tires or whatever. And we got out on Route 45 on the one run that we did, and I was out in the lead, and I said, you know what? We're going to run down this road pretty quick. I'm going to see if we can keep it up around 20 miles an hour, trying or whatever. So I got up around 20 miles an hour, and heading down 45, heading towards Bowlesburg, going, you know, putting a lot into whatever. I looked in my mirror. John's not pedaling. He's not pedaling. I'm like, what in the world is going on? Now, he's got these really skinny tires, and I mean, they don't have much friction. What really gets you is then when you hear him put his brake on, because he's about ready to come into the back of you, and you are pedaling, and he's coasting. I'm not lying, am I? Now, he had to pedal at times and all that, but there are times because someone else is drafting or whatever, you can literally let off the pedal. Am I right about that? You can let off the pedals, okay? Jason always takes the lead downhills. He never takes it uphill for us. Jason, we're going downhill. You want to be the first guy now? Okay, I'll do a bit. But again, you can see sometimes I need somebody out in front of me. And Jesus is the captain of my faith. He's a captain that leads from the front. He leads. We need to follow him. He's the one we need to follow there. I've got there that Jesus is the perfecter of our faith. He'll make sure we get it through. Jesus shows the motivation to endure faith. Again, the motivation to endure faith is that little phrase, who for the joy that was set before him. Folks, can I stop and tell you this? This marathon that we're running, it's really hard. It's called the Christian life. And when we get to heaven, oh my, it's all going to be gone. The pain, the trouble, the sufferings, the sicknesses, gone. You talk about joy set before us. Okay? Joy set before us. I do know that some of the races I run, when you're done running or whatever, okay, they have lots of food set out there for you. Okay? Lots of goodies and things like that. And so once you've run across the race there or whatever, they've got some really nice things set up there for you, and you can eat. That's a pitiful example of what heaven's going to be like, is it not? But folks, keep running. I know it's hard, but when you finish that line, it's heaven, folks. It's heaven. Who for the joy that was set before him. Again, motivation. Keep on going. Again, I believe that Jesus is the greatest example of somebody who endured more difficult trials than anybody who ever lived. This is how I'm going to put it. Again, as I could do this for you. When Jesus died on the cross, I think he went through more anguish than anybody ever will. Even when a non-Christian dies, God is there. They don't want him, but he's there. When Jesus died, what were some of the words he uttered from the cross? Somebody tell me what they were. My God, why hast thou what? Forsaken me. Jesus went through the, and I'm just going to put it this way, he's the greatest example of endurance through the most difficult trial. What he went through was a time when God literally walked away from him, and I don't believe any human being will ever experience that on this side of death. I don't think any human being will experience that on this side of death. On the other side of death, tell me what you think the worst thing about hell is. It's not the fire. It's that who's not there? God's not there. But he endured that on this side. So when we tell people that he endured sin's penalty for us, he literally did. God abandoned him. And he went through it. He knew what he was going to go through. Father, let not this cup, but if that's what you will, I'll do it. And the next day, he did it. So when somebody says, who suffered the most in this earth? I think Jesus suffered more than anybody on this side of death. Jesus suffered more than anybody. And yet he went through it, he never quit, and he paid for our salvation. So he's my motivation. How can I quit on him? He didn't quit on me. And he should have. Am I right about that? So when I feel like quitting, just keep going. Just keep going. He'll give me the strength I need. Again, Jesus shows us the final reward of faith. The phrase that I have for that one, he's set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Okay? When we get through the finish line, when we cross and finish our marathon here, we're set down at the right hand of God. We're going to be in God's presence, in God's house. Words can't describe what it's going to be. I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Folks, don't quit. Don't quit. I'm almost done here. I got one more point, but it could be a big one. The first point I gave you was the Christian life is a difficult marathon that we must run. The second point I gave you, to run the Christian marathon, we must get into shape, stay in shape. Again, encumbrances and sin, watch out for them. Again, to run the Christian marathon, we must run with endurance the course set before us. God sets the course, okay? And again, it's his sovereignty, but we've got to run the race with the hills and the winds that are there. The encouragement to keep running comes from those who have run before us, but primarily it comes from who? Jesus himself. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The last point that I'm going to give you, number 5, we run with endurance by fixing our eyes on Jesus. Fixing our eyes on Jesus requires taking our eyes off of ourselves. Doesn't it, though? Okay? Doesn't it, though? I try to read things on running. I'm not an expert runner. I just try. But they said, keep your head up when you run. Keep your head up. Don't look down at your feet when you're running. Keep your head up. Get your eyes on Jesus is what we need to do. Sometimes we look, oh, woe is me. Look what I have to go through. I've got to go up this hill. You know what? Get your head up. get your eyes on Jesus or whatever. Okay, keep looking towards the finish line. So a lot of times we just get too selfish and we look at ourselves rather than keeping them on Jesus. Again, refixing our eyes on Jesus requires trusting in all that He is for us. Folks, I don't think we can ever get to the place where we find how big Jesus is. How big our God is. And we talked about it in Isaiah 40, didn't we? How big is God's hand? The oceans in His hand? Really? All the stars in a span? Wow. We just need to trust Him. Yeah, there's hills. There's all kinds of things that we're doing, and it's going to be hard. We just got to keep trusting all that He is for us. Again, fixing our eyes on Jesus means trusting Him when sinners wrong us. Now, I put this in here because of the statement there. It says in verse 3, "For consider Him that endured such contradictions of sinners against Himself." If you ask majority of people who give up on living the Christian life why they did it, somebody tell me the answer they give. They blame somebody else for why they quit. They blame somebody else for why they quit. Okay? They really do. And again, Jesus had a big group of people that were against Him as He was in this life. It just seems like from the very beginning of His ministry, they were planning to put Him to death, and they finally did it. But again, He went all the way to the cross and did not stop. Again, we need to consider Him. When you think, well, you know, I'm taking hard things, and people are saying things about me, and people are doing this, so what? Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. In this world, you'll have troubles. But keep your eyes on Jesus. And I believe when you keep your eyes on Him, it doesn't matter what others do. It doesn't matter what they do. I said the statement to people, and I hope it's the same way. I mean, I don't care what you say about me this morning. I'm coming back tonight. And I don't care what you say about me this week. I'm coming back what? Next week. And I like this. I mean, I like this when people say, you know, Calvary Bible Church, there's something about Calvary Bible Church that I really like. And I go, what is it? They go, there are people up there that started going to church up there when I was just a little kid, and 50 years later, they're still there. And I go, yeah. They go, and for some of those guys, you still have the same ushers you had 50 years ago. Am I right about that? I'm like, yeah, we do. We still have the same Sunday school teachers we had 50 years ago. You know what? They don't quit. Now, maybe somewhere along the line, they felt like quitting, or maybe somebody said something, but you know what? They got their eyes back on Jesus and said, back into it. Not going to quit. Not going to quit. So fixing our eyes on Jesus, even when other people do something, just stay in the game. Don't quit, okay? I don't know. If I was running a marathon, and literally there was somebody alongside the road, and I'm running a marathon, and they look at me and go, you look pathetic. Would I go, then I quit. What would you say to me? Really, would you do that? Just because I'm, you know, you really, and they might be true. It might be true. You really do look pathetic. Okay? I know there's a picture of me running the half marathon this last year. A guy took a picture of me and it found its way to the website or whatever. And I looked at it, and it was right before we finished. I was running across the dike in Danville, and right after that, you go up and finish. And I looked at it and I go, whoa, you can tell I was near the end of that race. That didn't look fresh and peppy. I was looking pretty beat down. Okay? You know, so I kind of looked at him like, don't take my picture. And that's kind of what he got, you know, of me standing there like, don't take my picture. But you know what? Would you quit just because somebody said something wrong while you're running? It's a Christian life. You don't quit. You don't quit. You keep going. Fixing our eyes on Jesus is the key to not grow weary and lose heart. I'm repeating myself here. But again, we need to keep moving forward with Jesus. Here's a word you thought you'd never see. Ooh, you like that one? Conclusion. Here's what I'm going to give you. Folks, if you're in this life and you're not in shape, if you're not disciplined, come on, watch your encumbrances and your sins. Get in shape. Cast them off. Get ready to run. Again, an illustration I could give you is something like this. If I showed up for the New York Marathon, folks, and I was wearing a parka, boots, and a backpack, just stop with me. Am I doing anything wrong? It's not really wrong. People can't look at me and go, you know, that's against the law. But it sure isn't going to help. It sure isn't going to help. Did I hear that Jesse Owens one time in his track uniform saw an embroidered thread or something that went down the sides of his shorts, and the night before the race he took it out because he said that thread is not needed and it might weigh me down for running a 100-yard dash? He took the thread off the side because it was decoration and it wasn't really needed. Wow. But then again, when you're trying to win a gold medal, a thread could make a difference. Now, I know he's not a good example anymore, but Lance Armstrong said, carrying just one extra ounce of weight on a bicycle for the Tour de France could be the difference of 5 seconds for the whole tour. And yet some guys have only won the race by 5 seconds. So his bikes were stripped down to just the minimums. Is everybody following me through? If the world gets that messed up about encumbrances, what about us? Let's work on them. Maybe you need to cast off some sins to keep running this race like you should. Maybe some of us will get a little upset because we don't like the race God's given us. We don't like the hand that God dealt us. Do we say it that way sometimes? We don't like the course that God's given us. God's sovereign. I don't have the why, but he's sovereign. We need to submit. This is the course he's given to us. I'll do the best I can on that course or whatever. And then again, for some of us, many of us, we need to just refocus on Jesus and the joy that's set before us. Get back in the race. Get back on your feet. Get the stride going again. And let's keep going for Jesus Christ. I do end with this. Maybe you're not even in the race because you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're running. I don't know where you're heading. There's no finish line ahead for you. Until you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not in the Christian marathon. If you've never received Jesus Christ, and I know this is quick, but if you don't know what it is to receive Christ as your Savior, you're not in the race. And you're not headed to heaven and the joy and the throne of God. You need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Your sins are what you're going to have to pay for in hell. Jesus will take them, and now you're on your way to heaven. Again, get in the race if you're not there. But if you're in the race, let's work. Let's run. Let's finish well. I just end with this, okay? What's the best part of running a marathon? It's the end. It's the end. The one I ran, again, as I said, you end running across the dike in Danville. You run down the road a little bit. I'm not telling a lie, am I, Marty? Because you know the course. Then you kind of run up a hill just a little bit. You make a left, and there it is. And they've got this balloon thing blown up there or whatever. Okay, it's all blown up there or whatever. But I remember turning left, and there it was. There it was. I mean, it's 26 point how many miles behind me. There it was. Now watch this. And there was my wife standing there. Wow. That was amazing. I don't know what I looked like coming across the finish. But I made it, and that was the best part. Now watch this. And this gives us a different view of the Christian life. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is... Somehow we think it's so terrible for a Christian to die. I know we're going to miss them. I know that's tough. But when you start thinking about them, what are we saying? Wow, the joy that was set before him. I know it's tough, but for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Folks, I don't know how you'll still be around, but when I go, say, you know what? It was for the best. He got his gain. He's in heaven where he belongs with Jesus because Jesus did all the work for me. Folks, finishing a marathon, it's quite an event. It's quite an event. Finish life. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Don't you want to hear that? Let's run the race with endurance. Father, we need patience. And that's doing the right thing for as long as we're supposed to do it. And in the Christian life, it's living for you. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to keep moving forward. Steps are hard sometimes. Hills are steep. Lord, winds are strong. But with Jesus Christ, we can have the strength we need. Help us to follow him. He's our captain. And he'll lead us to the line. Lord, we pray that we'll be like Paul. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of life. Thank you, Lord, for helping us get through the life. In Jesus' name, amen.